BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back. Hour number three of the program here on Friday morning. And I thought some of the app chat comments would get stupid from time to time. And they do. Believe me, they do. I mean, I don't read all the ones that come in because some of them are just asinine. But apparently the video comments are even dumber. So if you want to go check out the reel on the WBSM Facebook page, you can see the intelligent conversation that's going on. Rather than debate my point, I get comments like, "Nice hairline, buddy." Yeah, I'm 47, still got all my own hair. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. But I'm also wearing headphones. So cool. I like how when you can't debate my actual point, you're going to take a shot at my appearance. You know what that sounds like to me? Sounds like Donald Trump. Sounds like a person who's just going to insult people and not have any substance to what they're going to say. So I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. 508-996-0500. The bottom line here, and what is being lost in a lot of people, is the same thing that they're accusing me of. What I'm saying here is that yesterday's press conference was not the time or place to be utilizing that moment, that tragedy, to bash your, I guess, predecessors and the people that worked for them. So instead of just getting out there and saying, you know, our hearts are with the families of the people, of the victims of this horrific incident, we are not going to rest until we get to the bottom of this, until we find all the answers. And then, you know, assuming that the case is, and we know the case is, but just assuming the case is, and it's safe to get on an airplane and fly today, you shouldn't be concerned about that, then you want to say that too. We know that that's true, but I'm just saying, you know, that's, you don't want to say that if it isn't true. So that's what you come out and you say. You don't utilize it as a platform to then attack Joe Biden and his DEI policies. And then when you're told, well, actually, it was up there during your administration. Oh, then Barack Obama then. And Pete Buttigieg. He was terrible. Just the worst ever. Like, that's not what people want to hear. They don't want to hear you go off on a rant for 10 minutes about DEI hires. Especially when you have no evidence of that. When he was asked for evidence of it, he got combative with the reporters, and he basically said his evidence of it was his own common sense. But then went on to imply that people who might have been hired that had a disability were less intelligent than the people that they would want in those jobs, in those positions. And see, here's the thing. You can come at me and say, well, you shouldn't be using a tragedy to go and attack Donald Trump. But see, that's my job. My job as a talk show host is to take what's in the news and analyze it with my perspective. And you don't have to agree with it or not, but that's my job. That's what I'm doing here. I'm not the consoler in chief. It's not my job to go out there and unite the nation. It's my job to entice my audience to either agree with me or disagree with me and call in and let their feelings be known. So I'm doing exactly what my job is. So you can insult me or try to insult me all you want and try to say, well, you're just doing the same thing, but it's I'm not the president. I have a completely different A, job description, and B, standard. And I don't know why you can't see that. I think it's more that you don't want to see that. I think what I'm saying to you actually makes perfect sense. but you can't agree with me because can't agree with the giant liberal. How can you own the libs if you agree with them, right? And that's what it all comes down to, right? Winning. It's not about healing. It's not about bringing people together. It's about who's the winner. That's what it seems to be about. Instead of what it should be about, which is this tragedy that took place. And this is all a deflection from the fact that they have gutted the FAA in a week's time, that Elon Musk forced the head of the FAA to resign, that this is a Donald Trump problem, combined with an unfortunate accident, it seems. I mean, we'll find out when they release the report after they analyze the black box recordings. But let's operate under the assumption that it was an accident. So everything that you're accusing me of, which who cares what I think anyway, but you're really just projecting the way that you feel about what Donald Trump did yesterday, I think. 508-996-0500. App chat. Open line voicemails available on the WBSM app. There's also a lot of, you have to understand that if you're going to social media to try to find the latest on this, which, you know, that's a normal tendency. That's a normal thing when something goes on in the news. People want to go to social media and see what's the latest information. There's a lot of stuff that's getting tossed out there as being reported fact. And I'm seeing it. Like, the way that it's written and it's crafted makes it sound like it is coming from a reporter reporting a fact. And I would just be careful with a lot of that because, like, click on the account, see who it is, see what other things they've posted. I mean, we went through this years ago where we had to kind of, well, I attempted to, but I don't think it really worked, help people and guide them into, like, what are trusted news sources and how can you verify a news source. And there was a great graphic I used to have hanging here in the studio and that I would share the link with people if they wanted it, where it would tell you what the biases were of certain organizations. So you could see, okay, this one leans left, leans right, leans far right, leans far left, and you would have an idea of it. And like a lot of that has kind of even gone out the window from when that was first created. Because a lot of those sites have gone even more in one direction or the other. And sites that before would have been in the middle have started moving to one side or the other. So just all I'm saying is that when you're looking for the latest new information on this or any other thing in the news, just be careful of where that's coming from that you are taking as being reporting. Because a lot of reporting is just garbage that people are putting out there. And a lot of it isn't even probably real people, but actually bots designed to create engagement. So just be careful when you're pulling information off social media. I mean, and it happens to everybody. If you fall for it, if you get duped into believing something, There's no shame in saying, oh, yeah, no, it turns out that was false. Because you can get, I mean, they create these accounts to look like real legitimate accounts. It's easy to fall for it. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. I hope I can be a voice of reasoning also here. So, as you know, I told you that, you know, I just used to be a registered Democrat and all that. So I try to have an open mind. And no matter what side we are on the political aisle, I think it doesn't matter if it was Biden in there or if it was Trump, Trump's in there. There's always going to be finger pointing whatever tragedy it might be or whatever situation. Maybe do you agree with that?
I mean, I think that there's usually a window of time before that kicks in. But yeah, eventually you do get it.
So, like I told you, there's times where I don't like when Trump, I'm a Trump supporter, but as you know, but there are times that he does say things that I don't agree with, like it's not a time and place. But that being said, he did come out and said, you know, his the nation mourns with the deceased people and the families of this tragedy. Now, he also, I think you would agree with this, that they know more than they let off, and I think he should back off a little bit on the pedal when his emotions, he wears it on his sleeves at times, where he just wants to blot out stuff and it might come out the wrong way. So when he did have compassion for the families, okay? Maybe you don't believe that, but that's what I heard when he was speaking. Now, you also had Hegseth there. You said about Hegseth there. I mean, he had to be there. Why wouldn't he be there? I mean, it was a military helicopter that was involved. J.D. Vance, you know, he has to be under, he's the vice president, so obviously he has to learn the ropes, whether they're, you know, he agrees with Trump. I mean, they're going to bump heads no matter what.
Don't mistake me saying that. I wasn't saying that they shouldn't have been there. What I said was that, because originally I said maybe he didn't intend to go down that route, but that was just kind of what came into his mind in the conversation. What I said was when they were there, I had forgotten the fact that they had spoken before he took the questions, and they were saying the same thing. So that was kind of the approach that they were all taking with it. So that's saying. I wasn't saying that they shouldn't have been there.
That's what we're talking about. I mean, the main headline of what's going on, I'm sure that's what's going to happen. No matter if you're a Democrat, they're going to come out with their headline of what they're supposed to say also. So, but all around, I mean, it is a tragedy, and, you know, let some time go. But he, like I said, I think he wears his heart on his sleeve at times, and it might get in his way. But do you know what's funny? Well, not funny, but ironic. I should say that was a bad word to use, but ironic that it was 5 years to the day yesterday, I believe, that everybody hopped on him about the coronavirus and when he called it the China virus. And you know what's crazy? He was absolutely right. It did come from a lab. Okay, I know it's off topic, but I'm just trying to point out that they're always going to jump on him no matter what, you know, whatever he says. And it's unfortunate that we're at these times where we can't agree. And I, like I said, I try to have an open mind now because I've been on both political aisles, you know, on both sides of the aisle, I should say. And I just hope that, I think also, Tim, is this, I don't think you mentioned this, but there was 3,000, and I think that's what maybe he was hinting to, there was 3,000 eligible people to be hired for being air traffic controllers, but they were denied. Okay, and most of them were, and this is, it was an article that came out, most of them were white males. So now we need to get away from, you know, this, like, don't you agree you should be the best person for the job? I believe so.
You're making some assumptions there. First of all, you're making the assumption that they weren't hired because they were white males.
I don't remember who reported it.
But how do they know that they were eligible? How do they know that the person that was hired instead of them wasn't a better qualified person? Didn't interview better?
Okay, do you know that there was supposed to be two people in that tower handling the situation?
They've overblown how many less people that were supposed to be there. I think the number I saw was that they would normally have 35 people, and they had 30 people, something like that. Okay, it was something along the lines
so
of that.
All right, so let's just assume, using your word, assumption, that maybe these people are overworked. Maybe you need more people there. There should have been 30. So, why is there only 30? You know what I mean?
We had the ABC News reporting earlier. So what they were saying was that on slower nights, what they would do is they would have less people on, that this was a common practice, that they would staff less people because overall they have less people. So they don't want to overwork the folks. That's certainly a job. You don't want to overwork people. So what they would do is they would cut back if they had a slower than average night. And so this was a slower than average night. So they had cut back some of the staff.
I understand what you're saying, but I find it really negligent on that part, knowing that airport has a history of having close calls. Okay, it's a known fact that's been reported many times. I mean, even Logan Airport, it's international airport, has many close calls and stuff that we don't hear about, Tim. You know what I mean? They ain't gonna report every like two planes that were on the tarmac and they hit their wings. You know, that was reported yesterday, but they don't want to report it all the time because, you know what? Like you said, they're going to be like people, oh, I'm not going to get on the plane. Oh, my God, that's happening there. I mean, if we reported every car accident, you know, you would have people like, hey, I'm never going to be behind the front. I'm not going to get the behind the wheel of a car, right? So, you know, some of these things, we got it's got to be kept quiet because it'll cause panic with people not to get on a plane again. But that airport has been notorious for close calls in the past. So, now that being said, to cut back and not get whether they were qualified, you said, we don't know, but that was reported by many that said that, you know, there was 3,000. I mean, I'm a truck driver, Tim, and there's a shortage of truck drivers. Do you want to have truck drivers that are out here at 75 years old? Guess what, Tim? There are. I met guys that have been retired and they had to come back to work because they couldn't pay the bills.
I don't want people to have to work at 75, but I also wouldn't say that because somebody's 75, they can't be a truck driver.
Well, there's some guy. Let me tell you something. I got guys out here that are truck drivers that shouldn't be behind the road, behind the wheel of a truck that carries, you know, between the truck and all 80,000 pounds of equipment and material that you're allowed on the road, sometimes more if you have a special permit. So that's part of transportation. And there's guys I see out here, they're in their 30s, overweight. That's why we have our DOT physical card. I don't know how these people do it. They get away with it by paying somebody off. I have no idea. But I know I can't. You know, I have to go to the doctors to get my DOT physical card. So all I'm saying is that we need the right people for the job. We shouldn't be understaffed with important jobs that put the lives of people at risk, whether it's trains, you know, like myself, tractor trailer drivers, you know, and the airplanes. I mean, you need people in there that's going to be qualified, and don't overwork these people. Because listen to them, I'm supposed to be only driving the equivalent of 13 hours a day. You know, between working hours and it's complicated to explain to you on the radio. But there's only so many hours in a week that I can work without having, and then I have to skip a couple of days. Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of these trucks now are going to electronic logbooks and everything else. They're already in the trucks. I don't need it because I'm a local driver. So at that point, I'm home every day. But all I'm saying is that I think many people will probably call and hopefully agree that we shouldn't be shortchanging on these kind of jobs. You know, especially air traffic control and trains and transportation, with like myself, tractor trailer drivers and everything else, and having them work way beyond their hours. I mean, look at nurses, Tim. They work a double shift. You don't want to be in a bed in a hospital, or you have a loved one there, and the nurse forgets to give the medication to your said loved one. I find that so crazy.
Well, there's redundancies, you know, in there, so that doesn't happen. But the question here that I have, and then, so do you think that there's empty spots for air traffic controllers that what, they're leaving empty and waiting for a DEI hire to come in to fill that applies?
I'm not saying it's DEI, but I'd like to find out, and that's just where Trump, I should have pulled back a little bit on what he said. And I mean, he obviously should know by now that there's going to be reporters are going to bait him into it because he, like I said, he lets his emotions get to him, and he spouts off stuff that maybe he should have said. Ah, shoot. And we all do that. Like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. You know, but
yeah, well, I'm not president of the United States either.
I know it's magnified, you know, 10, 100 folds, whatever you want under the magnifying glass. You know, you're going to get criticized for every word that comes off the tip of your tongue. But, you know, like I said, you know, I can't say it was DEI, you know, but I want the best. I don't care what gender you want to be. If you want to be a male, turn into a female. I don't care. If you got the brains and the knowledge and the intellect to have that kind of job in transportation for an air travel controller, then so be it. But I want to hear what's going to come out when the final investigation. I said, I guess they're going to really try to push this through to, you know, nip this in the bud because, you know, that, like I said, that airport is well notorious for close calls, that they find out what it is and get it taken care of so that we don't have these situations happen again.
Sounds to me the issue is more the airport logistics than the people that are in the tower. That's
well, I mean, it's all intertwined, don't you think? I mean, you're the people with me, whether it's good training. I mean, some of these people could be in there, like I said, 20 years of doing it. But if they're overworked and they miss, you know, they don't, you know, like they blink for 1 second, you know what I mean? We all, you know, saying like you just blink. I mean, I can't imagine the pressure that they're under. I don't know anybody that's in that field, you know what I'm saying, of doing that. But I do know a person that was a stewardess, okay? And she was supposed to be on one of those planes that hit the tower. She actually switched her schedule. It was a crazy story when my friend told me that, as his wife. But, you know, she used to tell me some of the stuff that goes on. Like, look, don't you agree, too, also? Like, some of these planes where doors are falling off the plane or parts of the plane are falling. I mean, all, like you said, logistics. That's part of the, isn't that part of the transportation secretary's job to make sure everything's in line? I mean,
I don't know. I don't think that they micromanage what goes on at every airport. I think they have people that are in charge of airports that handle that.
Yeah. Well, I just hope that it gets resolved and we don't have another tragedy again happen. Like I said, I try to have an open mind on both sides, and I've been on both sides of the aisle, and I hate that it would become political, but it seems like it's going to be that way no matter what. No matter, you know, when we're 6 feet in the ground, it's still going to go on to the test of time. You know what I mean? So that's all I had to say. Drove my points in there. You have a great day.
You as well. I got to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll get the news from Phil. Then more with you, 508-996-0500. All right. We will take more of your calls, 508-996-0500. But right now, we've got to go into the newsroom and get the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Details about the victims in the D.C. plane helicopter collision. Trump's nominees face questions on Capitol Hill. And what to expect from the Grammys this weekend.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The plane crash in Washington, D.C. claimed the lives of 67 people, including figure skaters, their families, and coaches returning from a competition, a college student returning from her grandfather's funeral, two Chinese nationals, and a group of hunters were also among the victims. The crash involved a commercial jet and an army helicopter with no survivors. Communities are grieving the loss. Investigations are underway to determine the cause. It's the country's deadliest aviation disaster in more than 20 years. Black boxes were fished from the water on Thursday. President Donald Trump began Thursday's White House briefing with a moment of silence for victims, but quickly turned to blaming diversity hiring for the disaster without a shred of evidence. Trump suggested lower standards in federal aviation jobs contributed to the crash, though investigators have yet to determine a cause. He also pointed fingers at the pilot, air traffic control, and Democratic leaders, including Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg. Pressed by reporters doing their job, Trump defended his claims, citing common sense rather than concrete proof. A dramatic day on Capitol Hill as three of President Trump's most controversial nominees, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, and Kash Patel, faced intense Senate confirmation hearings. Gabbard defended her loyalty amid accusations of foreign ties. Kennedy clashed with senators over his anti-vaccine views, and Patel sparred over past election fraud claims and support for January 6th rioters. With Republicans holding a slim Senate majority, the fate of these nominees remains uncertain. Sean Diddy Combs' sex trafficking case has new details in a superseding indictment. Prosecutors allege Combs sexually trafficked at least three women over a 20-year period, 4 years longer than previously stated. The indictment accuses Combs of using his influence to coerce women into commercial sex acts, using force, threats, and violence. One allegation states Combs dangled a victim off a hotel balcony. His lawyer maintains his innocence and criticizes the prosecution's portrayal of consensual acts. Marianne Faithfull, the iconic British singer, songwriter, and actress, has died. Known for her sultry voice and rebellious spirit, Faithfull was a muse to the Rolling Stones, inspiring and contributing to some of their greatest hits. Her own musical career spanned decades, marked by raw honesty and vulnerability in albums like Broken English. Faithfull's life was marked by both glamour and hardship, including struggles with addiction and health issues, which she openly shared in her music and memoirs. She leaves behind a legacy as a true icon of rock and roll. Marianne Faithfull was 78. And the 67th Annual Grammy Awards will be broadcast live this Sunday from Los Angeles' Crypto.com Arena on CBS and Paramount Plus starting at 8 p.m. here on the East Coast. Trevor Noah returns as host for the fifth time, and performances include Billie Eilish, Shakira, and a Quincy Jones tribute. While the show will go on as planned, Recording Academy and music industry are focusing on wildfire relief efforts. Many events have been canceled and funds redirected to those affected. Viewers can stream the show through various platforms and catch red carpet coverage online.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Celtics face the New Orleans Pelicans tonight at 8. And the Boston Bruins face the New York Rangers home at TD Garden on Saturday afternoon.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Cloudy with rain developing, lasting into the night, a high of 38 degrees. On Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 36. And on Sunday, mainly cloudy with a chance of light rain or snow showers later in the day, a high of 34. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM. Get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
All right, it is Friday. That means it is time to check in with Eric over at the butcher shop. And it's the last Friday of January, Eric. It's Groundhog Day is already upon us on Sunday. Do you guys have any groundhog steaks over there that we can cook up on Sunday if he sees a shadow?
That would be illegal, I think.
Okay, yeah, probably. But we probably do have some great stuff over there for the weekend, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, I got a lot of good stuff today, brother. I got everything you want. Today's a fish day. I got codfish today. I got octopus today.
That octopus is amazing there. I love it.
Oh, thanks, man. You like that, huh? Good for you.
Yeah, it has just, you know, it's just enough kick to it. But I love octopus because I find it to be so, you know, it holds in the flavors of whatever you cook it with so well. But it's not, you know, if you go to some places, it's kind of chewy, and but not at the butcher shop. It's nice and soft and tender. You can slice into it like a filet mignon.
Yeah, right, because we cook it well. We cook the way it's supposed to. Oh, man.
And then I'm sure you've got everything people are going to need for, you know, their weekend partying or whatever else they're going to be doing. They want to go down and get some beer and wine while they're there?
Oh, brother, I got beer, I got wine, I got pork chops, I got tomahawks, I got filet, I got chuck roast because, you know, it's getting a little chilly out.
Mm-hmm.
I got beefonish, I got terrace major, I got porterhouse steaks, I got ribeyes, sirloins. I got chicken wings, chicken breast, chicken leg, chicken thighs. I got little necks. I got lobsters. I got linguica, chorizo. I could just rattle off all day, brother. I'm like, ugh.
But the easiest thing is for people to just come in and look and see it all for themselves.
Yeah, come and see it, buy it, go home and enjoy it. That's it.
Absolutely. Well, what are you going to have this weekend?
Oh, man. I don't know, dude.
Have some of the octopus, man. That's the best stuff around.
You know what I like, dude? I like eggs, but eggs are so expensive. eggs more expensive than chicken. What's up with that?
Hey, you know, I guess I don't want to speculate as to why, you know, the chickens are still available with the bird flu and not the eggs. But even so, you know, eventually they'll come back down and you know, people will be eating eggs again. But if not, they can get their protein in so many other ways by going to the butcher shop.
They still eat eggs. That doesn't stop anybody the price. They'll still buy it. People want what they want, they get it.
That is true. Absolutely. Well, hopefully people come on by and get them there at the butcher shop and everything else that you have. Eric, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
I'll talk to you, man. Thanks for calling.
All right. Have a good one.
Later, bro. Bye-bye.
And, of course, the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, a real old-school neighborhood market where you can walk in and find a little bit of everything, as we like to say, everything from steaks to soccer balls and everything in between. 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Stop in. Wander around. Talk to Eric. Talk to Joe. Talk to Murray. Talk to everybody over there and say, hey, I heard about you on WBSM. Point me in the direction of something you think that I should try. They've always got great recommendations there, and they've never steered me wrong, and they won't do the same for you either. All right, 508-996-0500. That is the number to call in and chime in. We can also take your app chat messages here in the time that we have left as well. A quick reminder that we are still taking votes over the course of the weekend for our pet and pet owner lookalike contest. The winner gets a $250 gift card. So right now, you can get over there and vote at WBSM.com on the WBSM app. You just scroll through. We picked our top 10 photos. You scroll through those 10. You pick which one you like the best, and you vote at the bottom after all the photos. And then the winner is going to find out on Monday that they've won the $250 gift card. And it's all thanks to Wareham Animal Hospital, who are making this contest possible. So check that out and make sure that you vote. We'll pick the winner on Monday, so you got plenty of times to vote between now and then, but vote early, vote often. Unlike the presidential election, I can actually say that and mean it on our contests. All right, let's take a phone call. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi.
How are you?
You know, I finally saw what a tomahawk steak looks like.
Yeah, what'd you think?
It was strange. It's steak, and then it's like this really long bone that you can actually hold. And I was like, wow, because I never knew. And just seeing that YouTube, somebody was cooking it on the YouTube station, and I watched it a couple of times. I was like, wow, okay, now I know what that is.
Yeah, it reminds me of Fred Flintstone when he got the big rack of ribs put on the side of the car.
Yeah, it's got a long bone like that, yeah, and then all the meat on the top. And I wanted to ask, did he say Marisol?
Terrace Major?
Oh, terrace. Yeah, what is that?
That's a cut of meat.
What chicken or beef?
No, beef. Pork? Yeah, it's a cut of beef. Next time you go in there.
Yeah.
Trust me on this. Say I heard about the Terrace Major. I want to try it, and they'll cut you some of it, and it is like it's like having filet mignon, but not paying filet mignon prices.
Oh, really?
It's
okay.
Very tender. It's very good. It's very flavorful, and it's kind of like, you know, when people go in and spend a lot of money on these expensive cuts of meat, you know, at the butcher shop, they know how to get you the same kind of quality without having to pay, you know, the higher prices for those more premium cuts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I lean towards him when I'm going for something good, like special kind of meat, but yeah, no, I'm glad I asked you that. And I originally called in because I wanted to say I really enjoyed that gentleman caller. The conversation you two had was so nice. And this is something I want to say. I was embarrassed for my president as well. I wish he just came out and just, I don't know, just kept it cut and dry. And, of course, the sympathies. I did him give sympathies, by the way. But another thing, Tim, that I wanted to say was I think, why aren't we? So as far as I knew, all these people were coaches and ice skaters and whatnot, right? They got Nancy Kerrigan on the news. I'm watching her and this and that. But until this morning, I did not know the other people, who they were, until your news. And I wish we would all talk more about the people that were on the plane and not so much about the politics at all. And because it kind of chokes me up, you know, and I feel bad for all their lives, and I wish, yeah, like they said, I didn't know who was on that plane, and just hearing a little bit more about the people, I think, is more important than anything else.
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted to say.
All right. Well, you have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, and everybody else. As I always say, have a skitty little weekend and be safe.
And we will. We'll definitely do both.
Okay. Bye.
Take it easy. All right. 508-996-0500. I can take another call here before I get to go to the break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Pretty good. It's way too early to stop playing the blame game on this. They haven't even recovered all the bodies for the Potomac yet, have they?
No, they're still working. Still working to recover everybody.
Yeah, they haven't recovered debris. It's way too early to play the blame game here. And Donald Trump should have been more diplomatic here in, you know, given his sympathies out to the families and said, you know, that we're in the process of investigation and we don't have all the details. We don't, you know, he just should have said it's way too early. We're an investigation is going on. I mean, why blame the Democratic Party? I mean,
I'm going to give you my analysis as to why, and a lot of people aren't going to like it when I say it, but this is my analysis, which is what I'm paid to do, is analyze these stories, and it's just because he lacks human empathy.
Yeah, well, I knew that to begin with, off of his whole career. I don't like Donald Trump, but it ain't because of anything he's done recently. I just think his whole life he's not a person of great character. I mean, if you look at his record, I mean, it's always been about Donald Trump. It's not about anybody else. And I don't know. It's just too much ego. And like, you know, I went to the grocery store recently, And he was supposed to wave a magic wand as soon as he got in, according to the mega people. And, hey, grocery prices have not gone down since he became president. Now, is that fair of me to say that when he's only been in office for 2 weeks? Yeah, because that's the way he operates, you know?
Right. Well, he said it was going to start happening as soon as he came in, that prices were going to go down. He said that October.
The war in the Ukraine, he was going to settle that within a day. You know, all these outlandish promises, it's just hard to believe, you know?
Yeah, I wish I had a better answer or a better take on it, but I can't look at it as anything more than he just lacks human empathy. He doesn't care about anybody but himself, and he's incapable of expressing empathy because he doesn't have any.
His worst enemy is his own mouth. He got people to dislike him in his first term because he shot himself in the foot so many times, you know? I mean...
And he could shoot himself in the foot in the middle of Madison Avenue and nobody would say anything about it. No, I'm kidding. I'm just making the reference to that previous statement. Anyway.
Okay. Well, have a good day.
You as well. Yeah, all right. Bye. I got to take a break here. But that's the biggest thing, is you're saying, why can't he just come out and think of the families and you know, that they don't want to hear that kind of rhetoric when they're still trying to find out if their loved ones are alive or not. They want to find out if their loved ones' bodies are going to be recovered or not. And he wants to use it as a bully pulpit to attack people that he has plenty of other opportunities to attack. And it's because he doesn't have empathy. He doesn't understand in a situation that a compassionate person wouldn't do that, because he's not a compassionate person. Every time that he tries to tell you that he is, that he feels your pain, it's a lie. It's a con. They call them, a con man is short for confidence man. And that's what they do. They try to gain your trust. They try to gain by making you think that they're like you, that they're one of you, that they feel for you. But in actuality, they're playing you. And that's what's been happening. It's who he's always been. He's never been anything different. And you just keep falling for it. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. Hold on. That's my fault.
I don't care if Monday's blue. Tuesday's gray and Wednesday too. Thursday, I don't care about you. It's Friday.
All right, welcome back in, and it is Friday, and you know I'm in love with all the great finds I find over at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, and now that Chris loves my segues, but now that dry January is coming to a close, some of you might be looking for a way to celebrate over the weekend. And Stevie's Wine and Spirits is the place to go, because not only do they have great stuff that you can't find anywhere else, but they also have great prices on everything. So I find things there that are $5, $10 cheaper than you find them in other liquor stores. And they also have the purple dot. So many of the items in the store have a purple dot next to them. If you see the purple dot, you can say, excuse me, I see this has a purple dot. Can I try a sample before I decide to buy it? And they will let you try it before you buy it. Plus, they always have great pop-up tasting events. You can find out about those by following them on Facebook and Instagram at Stevie's Wine and Spirits. But then they also have the Rack House Club for members to join. If you love whiskey and bourbon, you can join up, and for one price every month, not automatically billed, you go in and pay. And when you do pay, so if you need to take a month off, you can. But when you do go in and pay, they hand you the bag for that month with a bottle of something worth at least what your membership price is. And this month's bag was amazing. Had a couple already of the old fashions put together with the ingredients that they put in that bag. But next month they have a really special event coming for whiskey lovers. And trust me, you are going to kick yourself if you miss this. So get over there now and join the Rackhouse Club so that you can get your invite to the special event in February for Rackhouse Club members. And of course, Rackhouse Club members always get 10% off all their whiskey and bourbon purchases, no matter what. So many great reasons to stop in. They also have a wine station where you can try four different wines, three or four. I forget. I think it's four. Different wines all the time. Not a wine drinker, but I still hit it up sometimes when I walk in there. But you can always try some different wines that are in there. And they also have a wine chiller. So when you buy a bottle of wine, you can throw it in that chiller and bring it home nice and cold. So check it all out. Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. And let them know that you heard about it on WBSM, because then they'll tell you what I like. They'll say, oh, well, this is one of Tim's favorites, and you can try it for yourself. All right. I do have to take one more break here before we run out of time for the day. And when we come back, I got a story I'll give you very quickly, another twist and turn in the ongoing saga of The Conjuring House. We'll be right back. Now, today was supposed to be the last day that you could enter to win a free solar system from Isaacson Solar, but they've extended it another week because they had a lot of people that wanted to enter but wanted to have some questions answered first before they decided if they were going to go with solar. So they're extending it another week. So you can go to isaacsonsolar.com and you can sign up now and be entered to win what is the biggest prize we have ever given away, because it's going to be worth, conservatively, at least $100,000. In all the savings that you'll get, plus the cost of the system. So make sure you enter at isaacsonsolar.com, and you can get to that right at wbsm.com. Click on the free solar link at the top of the page, and that'll bring you over there. So I did have a story about The Conjuring House. Visitors are denied refunds. We can get into that on Monday, or you can check out wpri.com. Let me squeeze in a call here before we run out of time. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Jim. How are you? Good morning.
Good. How you doing?
Hey, Jim. So I've only heard you a few times, but so when you say that Trump has no empathy and people fall for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is that just an opinion, or is that like do you think that's true?
Well, yeah, it's my opinion, and that's what I think. Right. I mean, I don't know how you would scientifically quantify if somebody had empathy.
Well,
or not.
You know, it's not a scientific thing, but if somebody murdered my son or my daughter, right, I'd be pretty upset. Or if somebody was negligent, right, if an accident happened, I'd be pretty upset. I should be pretty upset. I'm not going to have empathy, right? I'm not going to have empathy on that person for their negligence, right? So what happened is, yes, there was a mistake that was made, right? We have to agree there was a mistake that was made, and this is why.
Well, we have to assume that until we get the report, but yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's human error. I mean, especially when there's two frequencies, right? You got a military plane, and then you got a commercial plane.
I got about a minute left, so you want to get right to it.
That's fine. But my point is this, yes, there are people that are put in positions that they're hired not because they're best qualified. It's because there's a quota. And yes, standards have declined in this nation. I work in the building trades. I see it all the time. I have nothing against women, but I've seen certain situations that I have to go in and do her job. Now, I'm fine with that. I have empathy, right? But some people have to look at it. I think you're just looking at it one way. You have your narrative, and that's what nobody's going to change your mind.
Yeah, and the empathy, we only got 30 seconds here. The empathy that I'm speaking of is empathy for the families of the